I was rather distractedly leafing through Vatican Radio's forecast sheet when something caught my eye. It's called the International Polar Year, and it's being launched on Thursday, the 1st of March. I soon discovered that I wasn't the only one not to know what it's about. In fact, no one in my office had ever heard of the International Polar Year, so I decided to do some sleuthing. The power of the internet made my research easy, and this is what I found. The International Polar Year is a huge, exciting scientific campaign focusing on the polar regions. It's also an unprecedented opportunity, I read on, to demonstrate, follow, and get involved with cutting-edge science in real time. That means, I thought to myself, that it's also got much to do with trying to safeguard the universe, God's creation, and raising environmental awareness. The internet also yielded precious information regarding people involved in the International Polar Year, and I managed to contact David Carlson, director of the International Program Office for the IPY. I asked him to start explaining from the very beginning.
The Polar Year is an effort to do two things. First, get a complete snapshot of the polar regions. We know they're changing quickly, and we want to get a good big look. And second, to draw public attention to the polar regions and to the changes that are happening there.
Why is this so important, Dave?
We see changes in the polar regions that happen much faster and, or with a much larger signal than we see in the rest of the planet. And we think that those are probably indicators of planetary scale changes. So we want to understand the poles as an indicator of, if you will, a canary of the rest of the planet.
In these past months, so much has been said about climate change and the effects of climate change. I can imagine that this will be on your agenda as well.
Yes, absolutely. But we take a much broader definition of climate change. People tend to think about warming, and that clearly is a major factor, but it has many other ramifications in the polar region. Changes in weather systems, changes in precipitation, changes in snow cover, changes in vegetation. So in many ways, the polar regions are at the forefront of what we call climate change.
Why is awareness important? What effect do the polar regions have on the rest of the world?
Well, we have a planet that has, in simple terms, it has a heater in the tropics and it has a refrigerator in the polar regions. And those of us who live in between enjoy a very comfortable, most of the time, climate. So what we're doing is we're messing around with you, if you will, with the refrigerator end of that. And that means that everything that depends on that balance between heating and cold, the water cycle, the weather systems, the ocean circulation systems, has the potential to change if you change the cold end of that. It's not just sea level. It's not just loss of ice. It's a change in the way our planet works.
And a huge impact on the various ecosystems, I imagine.
We're very interested in the marine and the terrestrial ecosystems. It looks like substantial changes in the fisheries. Many of them are important commercial fisheries. We see drastic changes in the vegetation, a change from grasses to shrubs, for example, which has big implications for the animals, for the people who build their cultures around hunting those animals.
Now, Dave, going back to the International Polar Year, it doesn't really last a year at all, does it?
Well, a polar research is hard to do, and if you want to do a full year, you have to get in the year before. And so if you want to do that in the Arctic and then in the Antarctic, it actually takes about 24 months to do a full year in both hemispheres.
During my perusals on the internet, one of the things I discovered is that this is actually the fourth polar year in the history of polar years that started back in 1882.
Yes, the polar regions have attracted explorers and a sense of discovery for a long time. But what they actually stand for are times when the researchers of the planet get together even though none of them live there, and study the planet itself. So the first polar year is actually the first example of global cooperation on a planetary topic. And I think that's the heritage that we see.
And what about this year? How many scientists will be getting together, and how many projects do you foresee?
We've organized around projects, and there's a little more than 200 of them. That's about 10,000, maybe 12,000 scientists. But to do polar research, for every scientist, you also have students and technicians and engineers, and the number is about 5 to 1. So for 10,000 scientists, it takes actually around 50,000 people to do that work.
Wow, it's a huge effort. Very interesting. I've just been scouring the internet about the polar year, of which I knew absolutely nothing. And one of the big words, which is a word you too just used, is discovery.
There's still a lot we don't know. If you've been watching the news in the last few months, you've seen this discussion of lakes under the ice and under the ice sheets in Antarctica. 10 years ago, we had no idea they were there. We're discovering new things in the ocean. There are changes in the vegetation and in the permafrost in the north that we've never seen before, and we don't know enough about them even to understand the change. There's actually an interesting new form of discovery. As the snow and ice melt, especially in the north, we discover the remnants of earlier cultures. So there's discovery all over this program.
I know that once the only way man really had of making this kind of discovery was through drill holes, if I'm not mistaken. What kind of techniques do you use today?
Well, drilling is still a very important technique for us. We drill through the ice to get the layers, to get the history. We drill into the permafrost to understand the temperature. But today, we use satellites extensively. We're going to use a lot of genetic techniques to try and understand the microbial populations. We really have no way to count or visibly identify those, but the new genetic techniques allow us to identify bacteria that process nitrogen or bacteria that process carbon. So we use a whole new array of tools. Really, the forefront of science moves into the polar region.
Does this mean that physically thousands of scientists will put up tents and what have you in the North Pole and the South Pole and be there to do their experiments?
Yes, most of them will actually be in place. Tents, I think, is probably the rare accommodation. But ships and polar research bases, a tent really doesn't suffice in Antarctica for most conditions. There will be traverses. There will be people crossing the ice very slowly on long transects. There will be aircraft operations, ships, a lot of people spending a lot of time in the rough Southern Ocean. So, yes, there will be people in icy conditions, not very many of them in tents, perhaps.
That's my cinematographic culture. Now, at the end of this polar year, which lasts 2 years, as you were saying, what will happen? Will all this data come together? Will a blueprint be drawn up? What do you foresee?
We think three things will happen. One is that there will be a report of a lot of this discovery. Here's what we now know. Here's how fast we think the ice sheets are moving. Here's what's happening to the ecosystem. So there will certainly be reports. Second, we're under no illusion that in 2 years you solve a 10-year or a 20 or a 50-year problem. So we think that there will be in place a legacy that will include more students, more investigators, more tools, so that you keep the attention on polar regions high for a longer time period. But third, we'd like to see a general public that knows more about the poles, that knows about how polar science works. Maybe they understand science generally a little better because they've seen it firsthand. So we'd like to, we'd like to give people a real look at how the poles work, and then, you know, who knows how they use that information in their own decisions.
Because it's really fascinating, isn't it?
There is a lot of fascination in it, and people are in awe of the poles. I don't know if you realize there's a treaty that protects Antarctica, where they protect it for peaceful use and to instill a sense of wonder. And I think that's exactly the right kind of language for the polar regions. They are a wondrous place on the planet, and we'd like to share that, especially if we think that they're changing quickly.